The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
In the bottom of the ninth, Jose tries one. Deep to left field. LoCastro looks up. You've got to be kidding me. Sixth run. Bottom half of the ninth. Altuve's done it again. A three-run home run for the second time this year against Chad Green.
I don't know, but that one kind of gave me a buzz, TK.
Bloomer got a buzz going. How about that? How about that? What an unbelievable ending. How much fun was that? Hey, everybody, John and Lance along with Dell. If you want to get in here and talk about it, where were you? Did you leave? Did you turn off the TV? Did you see behind home plate?
Yes, the answer
it was
yes.
A half. It was almost all empty.
The answer is yes, I did both.
You did that.
I did both. It's 7-2. I was Snacks' birthday. I had to finish ribs and steak. I had the end of England and Italy. I figured 7-2. This is sucks. My dad and I had a conversation about why the Astros couldn't score. He's like, "How'd they get their second run? I missed it." And I said, "Oh, Kyle Tucker had a solo home run." And I said, "We can't score." I said, "Other than that, yeah, I like Tucker." And so we talked a little bit about Tucker, and it was over, and the Astros lost 7-2. Only they didn't lose 7-2.
Mm-hmm.
Only they didn't lose 7-2. And I'm pissed off that I missed it. Just like I left early for the Super Bowl and I missed the fourth quarter of the Patriots comeback against the Falcons. Literally missed. I have to follow it on my phone because I'm like beating the crowd on the Super Bowl, which is a smart move by me.
Yeah. Why would you want to see the greatest Super Bowl ending when you could be watching on your little TV?
Yeah.
And
a lot of it was just like I had to watch a stat cast.
Oh.
Like one of those. Oh. Like I wasn't even able to watch it.
Wow.
Watch it. I had to hit refresh for what the play was for like the first half of the fourth quarter. So in this one, I see a message about if the Astros win this, this is going to be the greatest. I'm like,
What do you mean
wait,
if they win
what?
This? How are they going to win
but it
this?
Was an older, it was a tweet from like 17 minutes ago. My buddy Ross tweeted it. And I'm like, wait, if they win this, they lost already. What do you mean if they win this? I'm like, what's happening on that channel? And it's the celebration.
Oh my
gosh. They're celebrating.
How do you feel about yourself today?
They're already celebrating.
You're a bad fan. You're just a bad fan. That's just the worst. I didn't see it until after it was over, but I can't. We were traveling, so I got, and I was, I saw 7-2, and then I looked at my phone about a half hour later. I went, "What the bleep? It was 7-2 in the night. How did they do it?" And I'm looking on my phone, and I found it, and it was awesome. So, but man, I tell you, can it be more fitting? Can it be more awesome for the Yankees to leave as disappointed as they were? They thought they had the sweep against the Astros. They thought they were getting back in the race. They thought that here's a little revenge for the Astros. And Jose Altuve, of all guys to do it, with the F. Altuve chant. And New York being as stupid as they are and as ugly as they are, ugly people that they are, the bad people that they are, for them to leave as disappointed, except the one guy. You see the picture of Jose Altuve. It looks like he's about to flip the bat. He might have already flipped the bat. He's looking left at the home run. Everybody in the crowd is standing and cheering. And there's a Yankee fan with his arms in the air, smiling and screaming, "Yay!" You're like, wait a minute.
He must have thought that was a flyout. Either that or he's a T-shirt fan or he's with his girlfriend's an Astro. I don't know what the case was, but that seeing that guy like raise his hands as the ball is sailing out of the park to be beaten is amazing. Watching, and we'll have some, I want to save it because I want it to stand on its own because John Boy had to face the consequences of Altuve, but he also understood the consequences of Altuve. He called it on Twitter, like, he's going to knock this out of the park, and then he's going to go slowly unbutton you know, by button, will undress. And it was, you know, he wasn't that far off on that thing. One thing I found through going through Twitter yesterday is that Yankees fans are, Altuve is definitely their Pujols. He ruins them. Yeah. They're terrified of him. Yes. They know that Altuve is going to ruin them.
Well, you don't get that chant. I mean, Trey Young got the chant in the playoffs. Altuve gets the chant because you're a nemesis, because you are in there. He's in their heads. He is in the Yankees' heads. He has dominated and destroyed that team with another three-run homer, the Chapman homer, two off Chad Green. I mean, this has been the best win of the season was when they were 15-15 and they were facing Cole leaving New York, about to get swept by the Yankees again, and the Astros won, and then they were 20 some games over 500, and now this turned into the best win. You could have gone into the break, you know, on a 4-game losing streak. You just got swept by the Yankees. You thought you were riding high against the A's, and then all of a sudden it all just collapsed. You feel bad about yourself right now. And instead, you've got a euphoric feeling about this baseball team. It's so amazing, that one swing of the bat, what it has done.
You're getting, like, shut out every day
by
the Yankees. Gerrit Cole goes 190 pitches to beat you, and he beat you with Brent Strom's riding fastball theory, where he was literally beating you with breaking ball low, sharp breaking pitch low, and high fastball, and Yordan couldn't catch up with it to end the game. And you got beat by what Strom preaches. Like, it was like Gerrit Cole, who learned a lot of what made him who he is today, was beating you. He was yelling on the mound, things that we would have loved if he was an Astro, yelling at his manager, basically, get the off the mound and let him finish this game. And he's nearly 130 pitches, and he's going gas, 98 and 99, up top in the zone against Yordan, striking out our big bopper. And it was man, this is the worst. I mean, this is literally the worst. He goes with a gritty performance to shut out the Astros. Even though the Astros, you know, were good offensively, defensively, or from a pitching standpoint, they more than held their own.
Walks.
No, I meant the Gerrit Cole game.
Oh, the Gerrit Cole game.
The Gerrit Cole game. Yeah, but, yeah, yesterday, you know, that was a great game, and there's a lot of great things. The one thing that is a concern is something's going on with Fromber.
Yeah.
And the amount of walks he's had in his last three starts is staggering. And he is just not the same right now in the short term than what we see. Something's going on.
Yeah.
Strom had to give him a visit early in the game.
You know what? Next time out to the mound, his psychiatrist goes out, takes a walk out to the mound.
That's the first thing I thought of was, this break might be coming at the perfect time.
He needs a tune-up.
Fromber needs some, you know what? Whatever that, make sure you hit your deductible and get over and see the sports psychologist
again. Yeah.
You know, I think that's an out-of-pocket.
Go get it, Fromber. But what a game. Wow. And I have buddies who left, and it was like, you got to be kidding. And you left your TV. But people that behind home plate, all the Richie Riches back there, it was empty. And now, it was up and down the baselines. There were still a lot of people that stayed. And what you got the payoff. I know it's important to leave so that you can, and I do that all the time anyway. I'm just preaching here. you know, it's important so that you beat traffic so you're not out there all day. Guess what? If they're still out there, that would have been worth it for those people that stayed. That's how good it was. That's the kind of win that you'll never forget. You'll never forget, Jose, where you were when Jose Altuve, in that stadium, when Jose Altuve hit that three-run homer to beat the Yankees. The hated Yankees went on all the giveaways from the weekend. It was all going to get thrown in your face, and instead it turns around. It couldn't be better. Now, it would have been nice to beat him 2 out of 3. Getting a run off Cole, a 2, would have been nice. That would have been totally sweet. You know, but it turned out to be an okay weekend with one swing. And he golfed that thing. Man, Jose Altuve going down and getting a pitch, that's a low. That's a pretty good pitch. If Jose Altuve's got to go down and golf a pitch, it's down there where you think, okay, this is a safe one.
Well, that's just it. They know that it doesn't matter what kind of pitch you throw to Jose Altuve at any point. That's why he's their Pujols.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know that they don't even want him getting up in that situation.
There's nowhere you can throw it.
He's their boogeyman.
So Green, you remember the last home run that Altuve, he tomahawked it out. It was it was around his eyes.
Yeah.
And he hit it up there. This one.
And he's not been hitting well.
Chad Green now throws it down at his ankles. Jose Altuve's little ankles. How are you going to hit that spot?
Whee!
And he hit that spot.
Bang.
And yet, and Altuve took that one deep as well. That's how good Jose Altuve is. That's how fun.
But the players, so the first sign that we were going to see something a little different was when Maldonado hit the first opposite field bomb, got the first run for the Astros. I want to say tied it up at one. And as he's circling third base headed home, because the game before, Aaron Judge, who had hit a home run, pulled on his jersey and did a little, you know, douchey move. It didn't go unnoticed by Astros fans, certainly, or by the Astros, as Maldonado literally pulls his shirt down to expose the left part of his chest to show.
There's no buzzer?
There's no buzzer, or to show heart, but I think it was no buzzer, to be honest with you. And he got into the, he got into the dugout and everyone celebrated with him. That was your first sign. The second sign is when everyone ripped off Altuve's jersey to make sure you could see there was no buzzer.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I thought, because you couldn't really see the tattoo very well, I thought, oh, my gosh.
Well, it looks like he's having it removed.
Well, so somebody else has it looks Melanie like with
it looks. That's what it looks like when you're having a tattoo removed.
Trust me, Yankees fans also, because it's the first thing I thought of. Yeah.
Where's the tattoo?
Chinch tattoo.
Yeah. I thought it was of his... No, I don't know. I'm going to call it a chinch. I thought it was going to be of his daughter, but wasn't it?
Who's Melanie?
I don't know that. But the first thing I thought was no. He's having that removed because you could see the whitish on there.
It's on there. It's on there. If you look, that's the Astros website too. So it's up there. It says Melanie, and there's like a heart. That's done. That was his tattoo.
Oh, I thought there was a lot more to it that went down his back and everything else. I thought now that's getting. Oh, I see. Yeah.
And you can see the script that was there last time.
By the way, dude is ripped. We're gonna have to look into steroids on him. Okay.
No, we don't need to.
No, I'm just saying.
What's wrong? Were you gonna call him Roydon also?
Yeah, I'm gonna call John Boy and say, look at the steroids that he's doing, huh? Now how you guys
see? And on that picture, the first comment is, "Where's the tattoo from Yankees fans?" All the Yankees fans say that. Well, that tattoo doesn't count. Why would you be embarrassed?
Well, I could have sworn there was more to it before, and he's had that removed. I could have sworn it went down the back, his back too. Because when you go, I swear there's a video of him getting it. That there's a lot more to it. All right. Anyway, 713 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776. What a weekend! We got the Euro Cup. We got basketball. We can even talk maybe tennis. I hate it, but we could talk about that. Who knows? That could possibly happen here. There's all kinds of stuff. There's the UFC 264, Conor McGregor with the leg break. There's all kinds of stuff to get going here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you want to get in, at John Granato, at Lance Zierlein, at Delvey2. And if you want to call the show, 713-780-3776. In the meantime, Lance,
yeah,
get some insurance going.
TGS Insurance allows you to finally make a call or a text for competitive insurance rates. And listen, you can do it yourself. You should be doing it every year, honestly. I have TGS Insurance do this every year for me. It's really easy. All you have to do is text the word money to 232323. But what is it that they do? Well, here's what they do. Is they'll do all the heavy lifting for you, meaning when you text the word money to 232323 and you send your address over to them, they are going to send it through their system, and it's going to go through a multitude of A-rated insurance companies, and they'll instantaneously get you a quote. Now, you know, they've got their system where it works very, very quickly. So you've got a bunch of people fighting for your business to get your homeowner's insurance. It's A-rated companies. And then you can take the lowest, you can take the second or third lowest if there's a reason for that. I'm here trying to save some money on my insurance, and that's what I do every single year. The average savings is $900, but if you haven't shopped for insurance for a while, I'm pretty sure you're going to get into the four-digit range. You're going to get into the 1,000 and up range. And even if you have shopped it, you may find that you save $250, $300. Hey, that's money that should go in your pocket. That's your money. Text the word money to 232323, or for more information, go to tgsinsurance.com.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Boy, we needed that game badly. You know, way to end the first half before the break. That is great. I mean, that's one of the greatest feelings I've ever seen. And couldn't be happier for a guy, you know, Jose. You know, he's done it time and time again, and especially do it, you know, with all the jeers and, you know, from the Yankees. And,
all right, there it is. There's Paw. That was so much fun. So great.
It does feel like, it doesn't feel like you got shut out twice, lost to Garrett Cole.
No.
It feels like for the Yankees, it must feel like they lost the series.
Yes, it has to. It absolutely has to.
I said something yesterday. I tweeted, I don't know, something fairly benign. Oh, I tweeted out the John Boy video that we're going to play here in just a second, where you get a walk through the process of John Boy, who's a big Yankees fan, who's the one responsible for actually pulling the videos off MLB.com where you can hear the bangs on the trash can. I give him credit for actually doing the research and finding that kind of stuff, right? But then he's been, you know, typical, the Yankees have done nothing wrong type guy.
Mm-hmm.
So he and his buddy were watching in a bar in Denver because they're there for the All-Star game. And as Altuve comes up, we're getting to see real time. They're like, oh, my God, not Altuve. And then we get to see there as Altuve hits the home run, the fallout. It's a great video. It's fun. Dell's going to have to clean up a little bit of it because, as you can imagine, there's a couple of unsavory words. But it's funny that, you know, and I retweeted that video and I just said, hashtag Beltran's imaginary niece is all I said. Because I still to this day feel like this whole buzzer thing is really John Boy has gotten away with. He's the one that said, you know, somebody said, hey, I'm Beltran's niece, and Beltran told me, Carlos told me that this was going on and blah, blah, blah. He goes, yeah, I've heard the same thing from some players. It's interesting you say that. And that tweet from some protected account that it turned out they said wasn't even Carlos Beltran's niece.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even a niece of his. That got so much traction that this became a thing. There are currently a lot of people who never saw that was a fake account that just tweeted that because it's just some random
person. There were buzzers.
And so it's just buzzers. It's buzzers. Beltran even admitted there's buzzers. No, that's not what any of this is. So they slandered Jose Altuve's reputation when we know that in that study that was done when they studied all the video accounts of where you could hear banging, Jose Altuve used it like 2%, 2.7% of the time, if I remember correctly. He's one of the lowest. The highest was Marwin and Tyler White, which makes some sense, mm-hmm. frankly, if you look back at that year. Jose Altuve is one of the lowest. So I just retweeted Beltran's imaginary niece. And so I get this from a coach who says, you do understand the Astros not only lost the series. This is on direct message. You do understand the Astros lost not only the series, but also 4 of 6 games to the Yankees this year, correct? And before, quote-unquote, meaningless July series, end quote, in which case, the walk-off, too, is meaningless. And I said, and this is a guy who is his name is Coach something, Bannigan, Bridgeland High School and football teacher, hashtag win the day. So this is a coach saying this. I said, LOL, they're playing for division and playoff positioning. What exactly are you talking about? It's okay to try and win titles. You do that. You need to get in, to win titles, you need to get into the playoffs. No win is meaningless when you are in contention. Weird direct message to send as a coach. You of all people should understand the value of the war over the battle. Oh, I agree. That's what I'm saying. It's just weird to see people on both sides say when their team wins or loses, it's a meaningless game. I don't think it's meaningless. I appreciate you seeing that I'm a coach, maybe not a good one, but nonetheless, blah, 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 blah. It's just, this is a guy who probably didn't think I would clap back at all, but Yankee fans are trying to make themselves feel better about this because they don't feel good about this.
No.
They realize, and they do, and they aren't going to beat the Astros in this series, and they thoroughly outplayed the Astros.
Did you see the stat with baseball teams are 493-2 with a four-run lead going into the ninth inning?
Wow. This year?
And the only two losses are the Yankees.
Wow. You know, that's one of the things, reading through some of the Yankee comments after Jose Altuve's home run, what I didn't realize is there's a lot of people, they say this has happened, like, they said, why don't you check 31 different times, this kind of thing. Apparently, the Yankees have been their own worst enemy, because when you watch them, you just think, how in the world are the Yankees this far back in this division? Like, well, what is going on?
They can't hold
the
lead.
Team? That's it.
The reason Chad Green is in there, and he wouldn't take him out, and Chapman's not up, is because Chapman has sucked.
He's been bad.
And so they weren't going to let Altuve beat Chapman, but oh well, he'll beat Chad Green again. But another three-run homer off Chad
starter,
Green.
You were getting worked by the starter yesterday. He was doing a good job. Like, the Yankees starters did their jobs.
Yeah.
Against the Astros. But, you know, the Astros, for the first third of the season, they weren't really stepping up in the last three innings and rallying like they had in the past. And then it started happening. And now it's a reality that you really have to be careful of the Astros in the last three innings.
Oh, yes, I mean, absolutely.
It's been this way now for, you know, well, I think definitely since I think late May, it's been this way.
Yeah. No, this is, a little bit later in the show, we're going to do our first half, you know, our first half awards for this baseball team. We are at the All-Star break. It's past the first half of the season, but we're at the All-Star break. And holy crap, what about that story? Now, it turns out, but I saw a story this morning that's saying that the weapons that were gathered from the Denver hotel room.
There may
room.
Be people who haven't seen that story. That story could have turned into one of the worst stories in our history, from a mass murder standpoint and as it pertains to potentially sports.
So now the story is originally, so they found a cleaning woman walked into a room and found all kinds of weapons in there. And apparently, and it was originally thought that it was going to be an assault on Coors Field.
Right.
But the FBI says there's no reason to believe that the suspects posed a threat. He says they were there. Apparently, it was not connected to terror. This incident, we have reason to believe this incident was connected to terrorism or a threat directed. We have no reason, to believe this incident was connected to terrorism or a threat directed at the All-Star Game. We are not aware of any threat to the All-Star Game events, venues, players, or the community at this time. Apparently, this is a drug thing, that these people were in that hotel, which was close to Coors Field, but it was much more
drug-related.
They had
1,000 rounds of ammunition with multiple guns, drug-related, and they said they were going to go out with a bang.
Four people. I know. The one guy apparently had posted, we're going out with a game, a bang, but there are four people now arrested from this.
Yeah.
This is not an individual isolated deal.
One was a female, too.
Yeah, right. It's Richard Platt, Gabriel Rodriguez, Ricardo Rodriguez, and
Japanese name.
Yeah, something.
Yep.
Yeah, Sarakawa. She was arrested on investigation of possession of a controlled substance with intent to distribute. So apparently, this was more. They feel like now.
Oh, it's a drug thing.
It's more of a drug thing. Yeah, it's more of a drug.
They said they were going to go out with a bang. So
yeah,
I don't know what
one,
that
guy, apparently the one guy posted on his Facebook.
You know,
I'm going out with a bang.
Yeah, so 1,000 rounds of ammunition.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to know what the final game plan was. I mean, they obviously are doing the interviewing, but I am really curious, when you have that many guns and that much ammunition, what exactly is your, like, what's the game plan entail? Can you walk me through your itinerary for the weekend? Because this feels like a troubling itinerary that you have here in this.
Well, it's not going to, you're not going to.
Your cache of weaponry would lead me to believe that this is more than just, you're going to pull a Pusheisty and just shoot somebody over weed and some tennis shoes.
Yeah, no, that's not that. It appears that it had a larger intent, but I don't know. I don't know if you take him at their word, because, listen, if I'm one of the players, one of the few players that are going to the All-Star game this year, if I'm one of those players, I'm like, are you guys sure all these hotel rooms are good? Because apparently this room where you could oversee Coors Field and this dude was going to open up fire like they did in Las Vegas, that was what was immediately thought, but the FBI is saying now that's not the case. Maybe they're trying to quell all the fears. I don't know. Or maybe it was just a drug deal, and it just happened to be near where the All-Star game is. I don't know. But I do know that that is a scary story.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
when you start thinking about how that starts getting you into terrorism thought again, where it used to be you would think about how easy it would be to get to so many of these sports events.
Yeah.
I remember thinking that for years and years and years after 9/11 is, man, this is really easy for this to happen. But good. Hopefully it's not. Like you said, maybe you do have to wonder if they're just saying that to kind of dampen the fears of people. But you would also think that they do have a background in this. They know.
Yeah, they know.
Every single person there had a criminal record, or three of the four had a previous criminal record. At least three. Maybe it was all of them. So they're not really necessarily law-abiding citizens.
And usually that's somebody that's going to do something like that. It's a lone person acting on them.
And they don't have that kind of record either.
Yeah.
They come out of nowhere.
728 ESPN 975 7137803776. We got some basketball to talk on the other side. What with the
series now.
The Bucks coming back and making it a series last night. How about a good game once in a while, though? That'd be great. Wouldn't that be great if we had an actual fun game to watch?
Yeah, the MVP of the series may have not switched necessarily, but there is the tote board of the NBA MVP for the finals now has a new member, and this thing is legitimately wide open. We'll talk about that here in about 3 minutes. Keep it right here on ESPN 97.5.
But first, we're talking about my hair. We're talking about Doc Linville. We're talking about having having the confidence of knowing that I've got hair now, as opposed to being a mangy dog that I was. The mangy dog with all kinds of spots wide open on my head all over the place, and the doc filling them in. And, you know, it just is. It's made a huge difference in my life, and it'll make a huge difference in your life. Making fun of my big bald head anymore. That's just good, clean fun for the whole family. And it's all because of Doc Linville. It's all because of the procedure that he has done for me. It's all because of the professionalism. It's all because of the neo-grafting, which is awesome, as opposed to the way that they do it at other places, which is more painful. It's just not as good. It's not as effective. It is, I'm telling you, if you're looking for the best process to get this hair, it is Doc Linville. It's at 975hair.com. Somebody tweeted me the other day, it's so simple. It's 975hair.com. 975hair.com. You go to the website, you get your consultation, and you get going. Let's go. If you want hair, there's only one place to go get it. 975hair.com.
ESPN 975 and ESPN 925.
Warrior sound!
Real. Fun. Sports. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Bucks get within a game in this series, make it a series again. 120-100 was the final last night. It's just, I mean, it would be great to have a fun game, wouldn't it? Like, it comes down to the last seconds, and it's just a nail biter, and somebody's got to hit a three or something, do something. It'd be great. That'd be fun. That would be interesting. But these whole NBA playoffs have kind of been like this, isn't it? Maybe you got a 7-game series, but it doesn't seem like there's any really. There's only been
there's
a
been
handful.
A few. Yeah, there's been a few, but yeah, you're right. A lot of them are just big momentum swings. But you know, this had been after game one is like, holy crap. Chris Paul. After game two, it's like, holy crap, Chris Paul and Devin Booker. And I know the talk on the ESPN before the game was the MVP consideration right now rests between those two guys. But yesterday, Giannis forced himself into the picture. And this idea, you know, only Kendrick Perkins to say something so stupid as Chris Middleton's the Batman and Giannis is the Robin. I mean,
he didn't say that.
Criminally stupid.
He said the dumbest
thing in the world. He said it previously, and he keeps riding with it. He keeps riding with it like this is his thing. And if you look at it, they can only win when Chris Middleton plays well. That's because Giannis is playing great all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Oh no, Chris Middleton is definitely an X factor. They typically only win when he plays well. You know why? Because he's the number two, and they need the number two because the Robin needs to step up. You know, that's why Michael Jordan couldn't win a title when he didn't have Scottie or when Scottie wasn't playing well. You need the number twos to step up as well. But what Giannis is doing right now is, and this is a guy who I think has an average skill level, but is just an incredible, the term Greek freak is probably the most apropos nickname that's ever been given to an athlete because he is a freak daddy. Size, strength, length, and he puts it all on display. This is like watching, you know, it's like what LeBron was able to do early in his career, what Shaquille O'Neal, where they have physical advantages against opponents. Yesterday, here's what he's done since coming back off of a hyperextended knee. Game one, 20 points, 17 rebounds. Okay, loss. Game two, 42 points, 12 rebounds, and three blocks. I mean, 42, 12, and three blocks. This is two game. This is just his second game from coming back off of the knee injury. Game three, which was a win, 41 points, 13 rebounds, and six assists. He's gone for 42 and 41, 12 and 13, and then three blocks and six assists in the last two games. Giannis now, it's 2-1. If they win again and they take this series to 2-2, headed into Phoenix, he is definitely in contention. This really is a three-man race as it pertains to the MVP. But Giannis is really, John, making a statement that, just in case you forgot, this is definitely not only my team, but I'm the two-time MVP for a reason.
And why are you listening to Kendrick Perkins?
My son Alec was telling me he keeps doubling down on it.
He's got to stay outrageous stuff over, otherwise he doesn't have a job.
I think he believes it.
No, I don't think he does.
I think Kendrick Perkins believes what he says. I just don't think it's very well thought out.
Yeah, I don't know.
Have you ever heard Kendrick on these shows?
Yes.
I think he believes everything he says.
I can't believe that he does. It's too difficult to believe that he believes these things that he's saying. anyway, I mean, he is so good. Now he's going to get his four. He's right in this respect. If Chris Middleton doesn't play well, they can't win. Because Giannis can't do it by himself. You'll give Giannis his 40, that's fine, and you guys will still lose by 15 because nobody else is doing anything. Jrue Holiday was the X factor yesterday. Jrue Holiday finally knocking down some shots. He was awful in the first two games, and this is a guy that they brought in to be, you know, to come in and be that third wheel as far as, you know, the big three goes. Well, he finally showed up, and they destroyed him. You can't give the Suns backcourt. What did they have? Like, I think they scored and assisted on like 105 points in game one or two. I forget which one it was, but it was a ridiculous number. And if their backcourt is doing that, and your backcourt isn't doing nothing, and the only one that's doing anything is Giannis, you have no chance to win. So Jrue Holiday stepping up and knocking down some shots was huge too. And, you know, and finally the Bucks gave him a series. I knew that they were going to go back there. The Bucks were not going to lay down.
No.
That city is crazy about that. Is crazy about that team.
It was an easy 4.5 cover. I think the next game is the
You had the Suns.
In game
you said
three?
That. Yeah. You
oh,
said
I got the Suns winning the I got Suns. Oh,
no,
winning
no, it. In game 3 you had the Suns on Friday.
Oh, well, I'll have it on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Because it just felt like 4.5 was a number that was very, very doable for the but I think game 4 could be a different story. I think we're going to get our first really
this
close game.
Hopefully will be a good game.
I think we'll get our first close game. I mean, game 2 had a comeback. They cut it to 5 in a fourth, but it was, you know, it was about extending and then trying to, and then, you know, Milwaukee got back into it in game 2. This one, I think game 4, because I'm going to tell you, either the Suns steal that one and it turns into a 4-1 Suns, or Milwaukee does what they did this last game, and we're on for a really legitimate 7-game series, I think. And this could be a home and away thing, because the one thing we know is that both home courts are very, very loud, very, very boisterous. We've seen it the first three games. All the three home teams have covered. Not that, you know, I'm just saying because they end up winning by bigger numbers, because a lot of momentum gets generated in those buildings. And so that's why the Suns, if they can steal this one, I think it is an absolute wrap. If they don't, they've got a real problem on their hands, because Giannis is back, is officially physically back.
Yeah, they still got home court, though. And
that's the big advantage.
It's huge
in this series.
Yes, it is. Both fan bases are crazy. Crazy right now. It's been so long. The Suns have never won an NBA title. The Bucks haven't been there since 1974. So their fans are crazy right now. It's not like you're winning a whole bunch of stuff in either city. So this is a lot of fun. If we could just get a decent basketball game, that'd be awesome. That's all I want to see. I want to see a decent basketball game where you get some intrigue and some drama. But we'll find out whether or not. I think the Bucks take care of business once again, and we got us a best of three series coming up, starting in game five. So anyway, we got that going on. How about, did you watch the McGregor fight?
I didn't.
I watched it. I bought it.
I
said I would never buy it, and I bought it.
I was going to. It got a little late. What was I doing? I was doing something. It got a little late. And I decided, you know what? I'm just going to keep up with it through. I wanted to, but man, they're so expensive. And I bought, you know, I've bought some other ones. I'm like, man, I'm just not going to do it right now. Financially, I just don't feel like putting the money out there. Boy, am I glad I didn't.
I know. I bought it. The only one I bought. And it's like, what the bleep?
Yeah.
It's one round. You idiot. I mean, what?
How was the rest of the card? Didn't seem like people were all that thrilled.
I didn't pay too much attention to the rest of it.
They give you a lot of matches on ESPN.
Oh my gosh, it was like there were like 12 preliminary bouts.
The preliminary, they're giving you a lot of bang for the buck in that one for the free. Like, they're smart. They haven't done the boxing mistake was pulling everything to pay-per-view where you couldn't even see it on HBO anymore. And boxing actually and I've actually talked to Dana about this when I had him on for an interview years ago, and he understood boxing taking their sport away from people and making it just pay-per-view for the big fights. One of the things I think he learned was to give people good fights, but give it to them for free. Make certain fights free on free television. He's done a good job. Now, it's oversaturated. There's so many fights, now it's hard to keep up with the fighters. But, yeah, but when you get those fights, I will tune in for, you know, I have purchased a lot of these big fights. I will continue to do that. I bailed on this one. I was going to, and then it got so late, I'm like, it was 9-something, I realized, you know what? I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to keep up through Twitter on this one. I may end up regretting it. I didn't.
You didn't.
I didn't end up regretting
it. So those who didn't hear, Conor McGregor, well, they were in the middle of...
I saw the video.
He stepped back, and his leg snapped. That was about it.
He was in a southpaw stance. He threw a lead left, and as he leaned backwards, his foot slipped, and it went inside and broke like that, right? It didn't turn over like you do basketball injuries.
No, it just his leg, just his tibia
ankle.
Just snapped.
It's his ankle, right?
No, lower level. He said a tibia.
With 3.5-hour surgery, I saw.
Yeah, and he was he did a we'll play it from his hotel, from his hospital bed. He sent out a video, and it was to Dustin telling him that he really didn't win the blah, 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 blah. Your leg snapped. You're done. You're out. Guess what?
He's Dustin, already trying to play up and get another fight. Dana's got to be pissed that he paid that much to Conor McGregor. It's not Conor's fault.
No.
I mean, you knew Conor would give a great fight. He always does. He started selling a fight late in this when he started doing his antics, even though it didn't seem to get in Poirier's head. But I think it almost felt like Conor's on the ground selling the next fight because he wants that next paycheck.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, he does. Oh, no question. He doesn't want this to be over here. I was already talking about how he's going to recover and how he's going to get back in the ring in 6 months or something, whatever. And he's going to go after Dustin Poirier again. Whatever. What I can tell you this, I am buying your fight, Conor. You got that $70 for me. I did it on my phone. It was only $70 on my phone.
$70.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah, but it's overall. It's usually $99, isn't it?
No.
No,
it's usually that much.
Oh, okay.
$69.99.
Yeah.
Did it hurt your heart to spend that much?
Yeah, when it lasted the round. Yeah. It hurt my heart. Yes. 742 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776 to get in here and to hang with us. That's not it. We got all kinds of stuff that we haven't even gotten to. Dick Harmon's protege wins on the PGA Tour. How about that? How about that? For those of you that don't know who Dick Harmon is, you ain't been around with us for all that long. What, Del? What was this shrug for? What is that?
Who's his protege?
His protege is Lucas Glover.
I was going to ask if that was Lucas Glover.
That's what everyone's supposed to know.
Yeah. Well, that's a tease. That's the tease.
Now you ruined it, Del. He's teasing.
Now I don't even have the story.
Jason, do something about that guy.
He's teasing a golfer.
Well,
in a non-major. No one knows.
In a non-major.
That's what he's teasing. Your motherland. John is like Lucas Glovering, but he won't do anything about his motherland winning.
We got that to talk about, and we got all kinds of stuff to talk about. But you shrugging. That's a huge, huge story for Houston. Dick Harmon's protege.
Tell you what. No, it isn't.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a huge story.
Dick Harmon's protege. Everyone's like, first of all, who's Dick Harmon for a lot of people? The second thing is, what's a protege? You don't know what our listeners know.
There were some fights. Let me just say this. Okay. Coming up next.
He taught. That's what I meant.
I want to explore why there were fights in the stadium at Wembley. Some nasty ones. I don't know if you've seen some of the video. Involving England and Italy. Some of the nastiest fights you've seen, Italy was getting... Well, let me tell you. I'll just say this. Italy may have won the battle, but it looked like England won the war yesterday.
You're in enemy territory.
You're in enemy territory.
Outnumbered like, 7-1 in that stadium?
Yeah.
You're going to catch a fresh one if you're giving them the business, Italian wise. So there's that, but there was also a lot of ugly words being said to some English players.
Yeah, and Lance texted me at the time. We'll get to that, but I thought the same thing. This ain't going to go well.
744 ESPN 97.5. You know what's going to go well is your basket from Keith Tate and Hoop Sporting Goals, because it's the best basket in the history of baskets. You raise and lower so that the kids can actually enjoy it. Dad, they can't enjoy a basket that's 10 feet high that they can't even get a basketball up to. You got the small kids that want to enjoy it. You got the big kids that want to lower it so that they can dunk. Your kid's not athletic enough to dunk on a 10-foot goal. Let's just admit it. So let's lower the goal. We're going to make it easier for them, have it more fun for them, so they're actually going to play basketball in the front yard as opposed to just playing video games and looking at that basket that's terrible. This is the best basket in the history of baskets. So if you're looking for the best way for your kids to have a great time, it's the Hoop Sporting Golden Equipment. Tempered glass backboards, unrustable stanchion, the gold that raises and lowers. It's the best. It's not even arguable. The installation is second to none as well. It's all at ProDunkHoops.com. You want the best goal? ProDunkHoops.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
What's up, Fight fans? The Notorious here. Just out of the surgery room. Everything went to plan. Everything went perfect. I'm feeling tremendous. We got 6 weeks on a crutch now, and then we begin to build back. I want to thank all the fans all around the world for your messages of support. I hope you all enjoyed the show. I want to thank all the fans in attendance at the T-Mobile Arena, 21,800 fans in attendance. The place was absolutely electric. It was a hell of a first round. It would have been nice to get into that second round and then, to see what's what. But it is what it is. That's the nature of the business. A clean break of the tibia, and it was not to be. Dustin, you can celebrate that illegitimate win all you want, but you've done nothing in there. That second round would have shown all. And, onwards and upwards we go, team. We dust ourselves off, we build ourselves back, and we come back better than ever. Let's go, team.
Obviously it wasn't a good fight. It didn't decide who was the better fighter, that's for sure. He broke his tibia. He's out. He's done. So... Poirier's like, whatever. Did I break my tibia? I was the one that was standing there. I wanted to punch you in the face more. But you wouldn't let me put you in. They wouldn't let me punch you in the face anymore. I would have punched you while you were laying on the ground with a broken tibia. But apparently he couldn't.
That's against the rules.
Apparently the referee said you can't punch him anymore because he's got a broken
tibia. He's got a broken tibia. I can't punch him in the face anymore?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. This is a stupid rule. Okay? This is like interference downfield on an underthrown football. This is a stupid rule. I should be able to keep punching him in the face. even though he's got a, hey, he's the one laying down, not me. If I was laying down, he could punch me. I'm not laying down.
I'm always just struck by when I watch these things. I'm not even looking at, you know, the expertise, their ability to take punches. I'm like, you got to walk around with that cauliflower your whole life. I'm like, don't you? I mean, there are ways to correct it, but I'm like, I couldn't do it.
That's what you want?
I couldn't do it. I'm like, nope, not me.
You're just about the cauliflower.
It's rough.
That's why you're not an MMA boxer?
One of the many reasons.
Okay.
And that's not even an MMA thing so much as it is a grappler thing. It's a wrestler, grappler. And MMA guys, BJJ, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, those are guys who grapple and wrestle. So it can be MMA, but when you see it, it means that's somebody who has scrapped competitively. That doesn't, cauliflower ears just don't happen. Like, man, I slept on them wrong and got a cauliflower ear. No, you roll on mats. You get a little rugged where people are grabbing and roughhousing your ears, and you are doing that to other people's ears. So yeah, when you see that, that's a surefire sign that they roughhouse competitively. So just know that. Anytime you see the cauliflower ears,
No.
You need to just stay away.
No.
Like it's a sign of respect. Like they wear it like a badge of honor. You never hear any former fighter saying, "Well, I can't wait till I'm done so I can get a little, you know, plastic surgery to get my ear corrected here. I want to get the cal." No, I think that's a badge of honor.
Yeah.
Can you think of another badge of honor?
By the way, it's an immediate. It's like a teardrop under your eye. I'm staying away from that guy.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of badge of honors. They were talking on the national broadcast yesterday with Ron Darling about, I'm not a guy who ever leans into the everyone hates us. I don't lean into that typically with broadcast stuff. But man, the broadcast this weekend, the national broadcast at least, it was TBS, it was Fox Saturday, TBS Sunday. Boy, they lean heavily on all the Astros cheating scandal, and I get it, but it was going on and on and on, so anyway, they did show the Tommy John surgery that the pitcher yesterday had for the Yankees. He had
Taylor. He's from here.
Yeah, from the Woodlands or Humble or something like that. Yeah,
he's from here. Yeah.
So they showed where his surgery had been, and Ron, whoever the announcer, I think is Sean McDonough, said you can see his zipper. He called it a zipper, and Ron's like, I got one too. And they were talking about how Greg Maddux says, you're either a pitcher who has had it or you're a pitcher who's going to have it, that surgery. And I'm thinking about that. Justin Verlander has it. Lance McCullers has had it. So it is something that happens frequently. But that's one of those, I don't know if it's a badge of honor so much. It's definitely not one like teardrop tattoo or cauliflower ears.
No,
are warning signs. Those are like the hood of a cobra. Or the red and black friend of Jack, red and yellow kill a fellow. Okay, that's right. That's
right.
How the rhyme goes.
No. A teardrop, I'm staying away because at any point he can just kill you. Cauliflower ear, you never pick a fight. You always just turn around. Yeah, you just turn around and walk away. It doesn't matter what he says to you because he's got a cauliflower ear. Now, I don't want zipper guy on his arm to ever throw anything at me because...
No, he's all fixed. He's good.
Yeah, he's fixed, but yeah, he's got a rocket arm. Because
does he have spider tech? Because if so, he will never hit you again.
Well, apparently not. Or what if he doesn't have a psychiatrist?
You saw what happened yesterday to Chaz McCormick. Chaz McCormick got up to bat, and all of a sudden he gets hit high and tight in the shoulder. If somebody would have had a little grip, maybe that wouldn't have happened.
Maybe it wouldn't have happened.
Somebody almost got hit in the face and killed, just like everyone said is going to happen once you take away the sicky substances. Have you seen how many murders there have been in baseball this year since they took away?
Right.
Yeah, just like they said, people are hospitalized left and right, broken orbital bones. Oh, wait, that's right. Nobody has. That was much ado about nothing. Oh, I forgot.
There's only one pitcher.
I forgot. It was just hyperbole.
Breaks orbital bones.
Yeah, only one.
Hyperbole designed to just... make excuses for guys who are cheating.
Well, let me ask you a question. You know, Altuve catches a lot of heat for the Yankee fans because he's their daddy. Who caught more abuse on Twitter, Jose Altuve yesterday or the three straight English players who missed penalty kicks?
Oh, man, I'm going to have to say the English players who missed three straight penalty kicks. Very meekly, too.
Hit the post.
Well, I mean, it was a wide open goal, and he overthought it, and he hit the post. The next two were just like, and honestly, and I tweeted this before, I thought looking at the way Italy was grouping together before the penalty kicks and watching England, England looked nervous. They looked scared. They did not look like a confident team. Italy looked much more. I thought the body language for Italy versus the body language for England was way, way different.
I mean, Italians.
One team missed two, the other missed three.
So
well, Pickford made amazing.
So,
Dale,
what kind of things? Now, I can't say. I know that it's not America. There wouldn't be any racism in Europe.
You think?
Well, first of all, why don't you mention who took the PKs and what happened?
Well, the first two were made by Harry Kane, who was an English player, and he plays for Tottenham. Maybe
well,
not
great scores.
Maybe not for long. And then the other one was made by their defender, Harry Maguire.
Now, Harry Maguire looks. He's about as English looking as you.
Yeah,
can
they're
possibly
both. Be. They as Lance mentioned. English looking, whatever you might take
bad
from
teeth.
That. No, white guys.
Well, yeah, but I don't horrible.
But they got money, so they can pay for the teeth thing. If
yeah,
they so
but
choose.
A lot of
they,
I don't think I think they choose not to.
I,
there,
I don't know. Connor's got money, and he's Irish, and he's got perfect teeth. So I think you. I think
Ireland is different. Than
I'm looking at it right now.
Ireland is different than England.
Yeah, one's worse than the other. You make the call.
That's Harry Maguire. That looks as English as it gets. He couldn't be from another country.
So those two made theirs.
Pasty.
And then the following guys were Marcus Rashford, who we talked about last week as having already the second most hateful, abusive things thrown at him before the game.
Well, there was a list of most hated athletes, and number one was Kevin Durant, and number one was
LeBron.
Or LeBron, rather.
The guys
one was LeBron, and number two, Marcus Rashford.
Yeah, the thing was, guys who suffered the most abusive messages or remarks about them in the last year, maybe not directed at them, maybe just online, it was LeBron and then Marcus Rashford. He was inserted into the game in the final minutes of extra time simply to take penalty kicks. It was him and Sancho. So they were both inserted to take the kicks. They barely played. They missed in a row both. And then Pickford made a save to keep England in it. He saved Jorginho, an Italian, born in Brazil. His grandfather's from Rome, so he played for Italy. So it came down to another player who's only like maybe 19, 20 years old. So I think the youngest guy on the team, and he missed it as well. And the predictable happened for those three players from England. All caught racial abuse.
Well, they're all people of color.
They're all
Twitter
yes.
noticed that too. Yes. As soon as they missed, Master Tez, who has a Twitter account, is like, oh no. Three straight black misses is what he said.
Yeah, it's going to be a problem. And it was a problem.
And I texted Dell. I'm like, I don't even know what I said. I said something about like, you knew what was coming.
Yeah.
And look, to be fair and to be accurate, I don't care who missed those three. Whoever those three guys were going to be were going to get brutalized on social media by English fans. Now that there was a commonality, there was going to, and I'm sure some people didn't even mention race and still brutalized them. That was going to happen. You miss kick. We already know in Colombia you can die at any point if you're a goalkeeper
or a defender.
A defender, the other Escobar. In soccer worldwide, you can lose your life if you play poorly. Not as much now as maybe in the past. But this was a really, really, really... The Euros are a really, really, really big deal to everyone in European countries. And so they were going to take crap. But now, with the three of them being people of color, it was... it got a little... As you could anticipate... Oh, what, Twitter was ugly to people? Mm. Yeah, they were.
Yeah, the FA, which... is the governing body of soccer in England, had to release a statement. The prime minister released a statement about it. Arsenal, who is the club for soccer, the guy who missed the last one, they released a statement of support about him only at 19. Imagine that. Look, we can talk about who you're trusting, but you're going to trust a 19-year-old with the final kick of the...
Why did Grealish not
get... It's a lot to put on a kid.
England loves this guy, Jack Grealish. Like, this is their new young superstar. And he didn't even make... He wasn't even out there for a PK.
Yeah, I don't know if he's bad at him. I'm not sure. But you put the final kick, potential final kick of a... It would have sent the penalties into sudden death, one for one. But you put it on a 19-year-old at the final one? I mean, Southgate took the blame for it because, you know, the coach does that. But none of his substitutions, and two of them specifically inserted into penalty kicks, made them. And he's going to have to answer that. But you know what? Credit Italy. They allowed that first goal in the first 2 minutes and fought back. And when you score a goal that early in a big game like that, then it's like, we got to defend for 88 minutes. Mm-hmm. It changes your whole thought process, and it did for England, and Italy finally got one in, and they went on to win.
Italy's great defensively, though.
Yeah, but England having to think about defending for 88 minutes when it's all about, if we win this, we win this. We bring a major title.
Scoring that early was just a killer for their mindset, because they're already by nature that whole country. We already know England's going to be a more passive, laid back. They don't play, as they say, on the front foot.
Mm-hmm.
That's the nature of England, right? When you think of England, you think of reserved, conservative type of, and that's how, as soon as they scored early, they got into that mode where they were playing keep away, and that's one of the worst things you can do in sports.
For 88 minutes.
Yeah, one of the worst things you can do in sports is to play, is to not play
not to
win.
Lose.
Yeah, yeah. It was a big weekend for soccer. Messi finally gets his first major international tournament title. I mean, he's done a lot for Barcelona, finally got one for Argentina. Both home teams lost on home soil. Brazil was at home and lost, and so did England.
Yep.
And one other thing, John, let's give some credit to the Nigerian Heat. There was a worldwide WOB put out. What did he put out? He goes, the U.S. national team lost to the Miami Heat's like load management team, the team they put out there when they're trying to rest all their guys.
Yeah, that was eye-opening. And you know what? That might have been the best thing that could have happened. But we'll talk about that on the other side as well. It's 8 o'clock on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you want to get in, someone 3780-3776. You got any thoughts on any of this, you're more than welcome. But right now, what about Absolute Marble and Granite? My man Jeff Aronoff over there and getting the job done. And listen, give him a call. It's hot. It's still summer. You're like, I've got to get these kids out of this house. We gotta be able to go outside. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had an outdoor kitchen, if we had a pool, if we had an outdoor patio so that the kids wouldn't be inside? And you can make it cool. You could put misting systems in. You could do whatever you want, but you got to have a nice outdoor for the kids to enjoy. And it's what Jeff Aronoff does. It's what he did for me. It's not only outdoor, it's indoor as well. Whatever you need renovated, or you have big rooms that need to be, you know, whatever it is, and you've got a big job. Jeff Aronoff is here with the marble, with the granite, with the tile, with whatever. He can, the stone. It's just, there's so much that you can make your home or business look so much better and be so much and add so much value to your home or your business. And if you're not doing anything, people, you're losing money. You've got to upgrade. And Jeff Aronoff is here for you. He'll design it. He'll put it all in. He'll do all the installation. He'll do everything. Big jobs only. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
ESPN. 97.5.